Well, good morning, church. Why don't we stand to our feet and begin worship together?
Shines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. With eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
Sing it again, your face.
Your face outshines the brightest sun. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious. Eyes that blaze like burning fire. Jesus, you're glorious. You are so glorious.
You're King of glory.
King of glory. Have your you're powerful. You are so powerful. And in your hands you hold the stars. Jesus, you're powerful. You are so powerful. Jesus, glory. Have your
turn to your neighbor, and it doesn't have to be anything big. It could be something small, but just ask them, how can I pray for you this week?
Thank you.
the confidence monitor? Yeah, I don't know. Nope.
To trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, trust Him, how I uproot Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. To trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing blood, Jesus, Jesus, to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I approve Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, to trust Him more, Jesus, 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 how I trust Him, how I approve Him more and more, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust for grace, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause chain's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Till the past it disappears. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus. In all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could, who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. Who will take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all the guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, and rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life.
Sing, I have decided.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Behind me. the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that every day you have new mercies for us. Every morning, although we don't know what's in store, we don't know the future, we don't know what's to come, we know one thing for certain, is that we can trust you. And Lord, I pray that if we haven't been trusting you, that we would put our face in your word, that we would be in your word daily. Lord, I pray that even today we would be convicted, which isn't something that normally you would pray for, like, Lord, convict me. But I pray that we would be convicted of the areas in our life that are weakest and that need growth, and that you would pinpoint those areas, show those areas to us, and that in some way, Lord, you would embolden us and help us and grow us, and that we'd become more like you. But Father, we know the only way to be more like you is that we would be less of ourselves. So firstly and foremost, I pray that we would surrender ourselves to your calling and to you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning, your Holy Spirit would have your way, and I pray that you'd be with Pastor Forrest as he brings forth your word. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
There's a lot of pretty divisive statements that you can make about the election, this past election cycle, but I think most people that I've talked to at least will agree with this. This past election cycle has been pretty hostile. It's been pretty antagonistic. There's a lot of things that were thrown, a lot of things that were said, and both sides were guilty of these inflammatory statements. They were, both sides. So both sides were saying, he said, and she said, And one thing about that I noticed, and maybe it's not any different than in years past, but one thing I noticed about this year that I hadn't seen before was that people in the country are more than happy to jump into the warfare. People are yelling, like red-faced screaming at other people for their positions and who they're voting for. People are going at night and stealing signs out of other people's yards. It's just incredible, just the chaos, the conflict. So this particular cycle has been hugely volatile. And one of the things that I learned, and one of the things I think we can all walk away from this election cycle with, is just that modern humanity really does not know how to love other people. Modern humanity does not know how to love others. Some of the things that were said and some of the things that were done have been just so disruptive. And you have people that are making statements, and then you have people that are repeating those statements, and the hatred and the anger for the other person is just really incredible. And unfortunately, what has happened is that attitude then has started to make its way into the church. And so you now have believers who claim to have an intimate relationship with the supreme God of the universe, and that they're interacting with other people who are believers or not believers, and they're red-faced angry at them. And what's happened is that there's been a bit of a flip. You see, it used to be that it was normal to be nice to people, and conflict was odd. But now it's kind of flipped in our country. Conflict is normal. The tumultuousness of things is normal. And then when somebody does something loving for somebody, we're like, that's kind of weird. Things have changed, and things have switched. And so what has happened is that inside the church then, it's acceptable to fight. It's acceptable to be angry. It's acceptable to bicker and fight over stupid stuff. But then when we have opportunity to love each other, it's like, it feels weird. Like, hug somebody? I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm okay with that. It's really strange, the dynamic that's happened. And so what I want us to do this morning is we're going to ask the question, how should we love others? How should we do it? And it seems, you know, even as I'm studying for this, I'm thinking this is kind of like strange because this is so like basic elementary, some of the stuff we're talking about. But I don't think it's strange in our current culture because some of these things that we're going to talk about are foreign. They shouldn't be. So we're going to look at, we're going to ask the question of our section of verses that we're looking at here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So I would invite you, if you have your Bible with you, bring it out, get it out, turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you don't have your Bible with you, it's okay. Grab a pew Bible in front of you, or look on your phone or your device, whatever device you have with you, and we're looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we've been working our way through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we've come towards the end. So today we're going to be in chapter 5, and we've come towards the end of the letter. And what happens in many of these letters in the New Testament is the conclusion, as you get towards the end, there's this rapid fire list of things that the reader should do. So, living, holy living kind of admonitions for them, and that's kind of the section we're in. So today we're going to look at two verses, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to ask the question of the text, how can we love others? How can we do that? And we're going to see some things that I think are fairly surprising and maybe not all that surprising, some other things. But we're going to look at how should we love others? And as we do that, we're going to learn that there is a way that is prescribed for people who call themselves believers. There's a way that they should love the people around them. And this morning we're going to see that how we're doing that is an idea. It's a way to treat the people, not only the people that are in the pew with you or the people that you see in the hallway on your way into church or on your way out, but it's how we should treat all people. And we're going to talk about towards the end how there's a really great opportunity we have in the midst of this culture that's so tumultuous. We have an opportunity to start loving people the right way, and it's going to catch attention. People are going to start paying attention. But let's start at verse 14, and we're going to go from verse 14 to 15. And what we're going to see is we can love each other with a personalized love. with a personalized love. And that's the first thing we're going to talk about. And this personalized love is important because one size does not fit all. And sometimes we have this perspective that loving other people, we love everybody the same way. And we're going to look at why that's not such a great idea. And then the second thing we're going to see is that we can love each other with a patient love. And sometimes we have this idea that loving others, it's one and done. You know, I did my good deed for the day. I loved somebody, and then I'm done. It's over. That's all I got to do. That doesn't work. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And the last thing that we're going to see is that we can love one another with a pardoning love, with a love where we've got to be forgiving. And we're going to talk about why that's so important here in just a little bit. But we've got to really be freely forgiving each other. We have to do that. And we'll talk about why that's important in a minute. But the first thing is this, is that we can love each other with a personalized love. A personalized love. One size does not fit all when it comes to love. Look with me at verse 14. And he begins by saying, "We urge you." Now, earlier in verse 12, when they were writing, it was more of a, "Hey guys, we encourage you to do this." But now it's stronger. He's trying to emphasize, this is important. We're pleading with you almost. We're pleading with you to do this. He says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters." Again, I've been telling you all this many times here that he keeps using this terminology of brothers and sisters, this familial term, just to kind of say, hey, we're in this together. We're working together. But he says, we urge you, brothers and sisters. And then there's three commands here. The first one is to admonish the unruly. So the unruly are those people who are either rebellious or are kind of doing their own thing, or maybe they've wandered off track. And so the thing that's being said here is to admonish them. It's actually to correct them, not meanly. You don't have to say, hey, get your act together. But the idea is to come alongside them lovingly and say, hey, let's get back on track. That's how to approach the people who are unruly. But then he gives a totally different way to love a totally different group of people. Reading on in verse 14, he says, "Encourage the faint-hearted." Encourage has the idea of comforting, is to give them a little bit of a give them courage, is what the word really means, to give them courage. But you give courage to the people that are faint-hearted, the people who have experienced life up to this point, and they're just tired, not tired physically, but people who are tired spiritually or mentally, or life has just knocked them down. And so the admonition, or the thing that we got to do we've got to encourage those people. But then there's another group of people, and it's the weak people. And the verse says this. He says, "Help the weak." The people who are weak, who don't have the strength to do things, be it physical, be it social or emotional, whatever the issue is, for whatever reason they're weak, give them help. And the important thing that I want you to see here is that each of these three different groups needs a different approach. For the people who you're trying to love who are unruly, you admonish them. For the people that you're trying to love who are faint-hearted, you're encouraging them. And for the people that are weak, you're helping them. And what's going on here is it's more than just saying, hey, this is the formula to use in order to help people. If they're in this situation, use this. They're trying to demonstrate a sense that different people need different types of love. Now, in some respects, this is so plain to us. But oftentimes what happens in the midst of our lives is we're not paying attention to this. But if we want to really love people, we need to love them with a personalized love. We need to love them with a love that's based upon what they need, not based upon what's easiest for us to do. One of the criticisms that was leveled against Kamala over this election cycle, one of the criticisms is that whenever she would go and talk to a group of people, she would say a different message there than she would go to say to another group. And again, there's a lot of accusations and rhetoric going on, But for the most part, that was unfair. Because the reality is that when you talk to someone, you're going to talk to them about the things that they need to hear. That's normal. That's called communication. That's how we do this communication thing. Is you talk to the people about the way and in the way that they need to hear. Communication is not one size fits all. And the same thing is true for us when we are looking to love other people. One size does not fit all. If you were going to somebody who's unruly, this rebellious person, and you're like, well, I don't really feel like admonishing them because that's a lot of work, so I'm just going to encourage them. What's going to happen? You go to someone who's rebelling and you say, hey, keep going. You're doing a wonderful job. What are they going to do? They're just going to keep going. It's common sense. It just makes sense. It's just hard to do. We have to change the way that we love people based upon what they need. And it's very, very simple to do. And the very, very simple thing that we need to do is when we're looking to be in a position to love someone, just listen. Listen to them. If you're at the coffee maker out here and you're getting coffee and there's somebody with you, just listen to people. They'll tell you what's going on in their life. You don't even have to ask them. People will tell you. If you'll just listen, you'll hear. This morning when we did our meet and greet, I had you, you know, tell each other, what could you pray for each other about? And that's, if you just listen, you people, it's really easy to hear. And if you listen to what people are saying, and then you say, you know what? I'm going to love them based upon what I know is going on. And that's the idea here in this passage is that we need to love each other, or we should, or we can love each other with a personalized love. A love that works for their situation. So how should we, how can we love each other? First thing, love with a personalized love. The second thing is love with a patient love. I'm going to demonstrate as we read through this passage why that's so important. But at the end of verse 14, we see the command here. It says, be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. The idea of being patient means to kind of push through, to continue doing something, although there's obstacles and there's difficulties. And in the context here of loving other people, and loving other people who need different kinds of love, the admonition is to keep loving them. Don't be one and then done. Don't throw a grenade at them and say, hey, I hope this helps. Don't do that because it never works. Instead, we have to be patient in the midst of whatever it is that we're helping and trying to love someone with. If you look at the first part of 14, I'll give you examples and you can see why being patient is so important. The first one is admonish the unruly. Let's say you're trying to communicate love to someone and this particular person is in a rebellious spot in their life. If you admonish them one time, that's not going to do anything. If they've kind of made these decisions or gotten caught into a trap or they're kind of stuck in a way of living life that really isn't working for them, you flying in one time and saying, hey, I really wish you'd get out of that, it isn't going to do anything. You have to be patient. You have to be involved in the person's life and say, hey, I'd really wish you'd get out of this, and how can I help you? And you've got to be present for more than just a one-off thing. If you do, we'll throw out a one-off comment. It's never going to work. Same thing is true with you go to the next week and you or the next person, and you say, with the people that are faint-hearted. This person is faint-hearted because life has beat them up or a situation in their life has beat them up, and they have no or virtually no desire to keep going. They're faint-hearted, and they want to give up. And you flying in and just saying, hey, sorry you had a bad day, one-off statement isn't going to do anything. They need someone who's going to be there with them and to keep checking on them, say, hey, how's it going? You've got to be patient through that process. It's not something that you can come in one time and say anything. So you've got to be patient. Same thing would be true for the person who is weak. Same idea, you've got to be patient, work through the process. One of the things that happened in this election cycle that I thought was quite funny to watch is President-elect Trump was asked if he could compliment Kamala. And he said three comments that were actually fairly nice. Now, in the midst of everything that's going on, there were all these negative things that both sides were saying about each other. But he said these three nice compliments about her, and people didn't know what to do with that. They were like, that's actually kind of nice. Like he said something nice. And so everyone kind of scrambled, and oh, what he really meant was that, and they kind of twisted it and turned it. But the initial reaction that people had to that was like, that's weird. Why would you do that? People didn't know what to do with that. And when you and I take the opportunities to try to be loving to someone, their first reaction is going to be, that's weird. Why are you doing that? And you can't just fly in and do one thing and say, oh, I'm done with it. It doesn't work that way. You have to be patient. If we're going to love each other the way, we've got to understand that it's something that's going to take time. Because what happens is the first time it happens, our knee-jerk reaction is not to pay attention to it. So if you're going to do this, if we're going to do this, you can't do one and done. And so my suggestion for you, my challenge for you is this, is when we love each other, you have to commit to expressing love to that person for at least three times. You have to commit to expressing love to that person for three times. If you don't do it three times, they're never going to get the message. The first time that you try to do something loving for them, their initial reaction is going to be, that must have been an accident. The second time you try to communicate love to someone, their reaction to that is, okay, that's kind of a coincidence. When it happens the third time, then people start to say, okay, maybe there's a possibility this person is being genuine. So when it comes to being a person who is going to show love to other people, you have to be in it for the long haul. So one way we can show love to others is to be patient. And the last thing that we're going to see is to be pardoning. The way that we can show love to other people is to be pardoning, to love them with a pardoning love. Look with me at verse 15. It says, see that no one repays another with evil for evil. See that no one repays another person with evil for evil. Our natural reaction when someone says something evil to us or about us, when someone does something evil to us or about us, when that happens, our natural reaction is to do evil back to them. Because in our economy, if they do it, it's okay that I do it. This is what happens. The danger of this process is this. If someone does something that seems evil, whether it was intended that way or not, and the other person receives it and say, hey, that was evil, and they return it to them, they say, well, you did it to me, so I'm going to do it to you. And so they do evil to this person. And then this person says, hey, you just did evil to me. I'm going to follow that with evil. And it goes back and forth and back and forth, and the relationship is destroyed. That's the mentality. That's what happens. And that's why this verse is saying, stop it. Stop. You can't do that anymore. Don't return evil for evil. You can't do that anymore. But the end of verse 15 says this, but always seek. And the word here is talking about to run after, alluding to the work that needs to be done in the previous verse about how you have to understand what's going on in the person's life and be able to tailor your love to them. He says, but seek after, work for doing good. But always seek what is good for one another. Context there is other believers. And for all people. Even if someone does something evil towards you, your response should be good. And not just do something good, but seek. Look at their situation and see what they need. Personalize your response to them. Don't just do something good, like buy them a flower. Do something that's personalized for them. Seek what is good for them in response. And if somebody does something good for you, return the good. That's fine. But even if somebody does something bad towards you, return and do good towards them. Why this is so important is because it's so easy to stir up conflict and problems. It's so easy. This election cycle, it happened by both groups. What both groups did, what both camps did, is they took a long conversation that the other person was saying, and they pulled a statement that they made out of context, and then put it up and said, this person believes this. That's not what they said in context, but it's an easy thing that it's so easy to do. Both sides did it the whole time. They kept saying, well, so-and-so said such and such. Well, it's not actually what they said, but it doesn't matter. Because the drama was off. And it's so easy for us to do in life. We can take a comment that somebody said completely out of context, go over here and tell someone else and start conflict. It's easy to do. You don't even have to work at it. It's so easy to do. What's hard to do is the thing that we need to do, and that's regardless of what people do to us, we need to seek and do what's good for them. And so the way that we can carry that out, the way that we can act that out, or the application for us is to forgive freely. Forgive freely. No matter what someone has said, no matter what someone has done, just forgive them and forget it. Move on. You don't need to keep dwelling on it. You can search from this whole Bible from front to back, and there is nowhere in the Bible that tells you you cannot forgive someone unless they say they're sorry. There is nowhere from front to back that says you cannot forgive someone until they are really sorry. You don't have to wait to forgive someone for them to be sorry. You can just forgive them. Just forgive them. Say, move on. Freely forgive no matter what. Just forgive people. And that's how we can be a person who responds with a pardoning love. Even if someone does something that is evil, that we might take as evil, even if somebody does some, they don't respond to our love like we want them to, forgive them and move on. Just forgive them and move on. So how can we love others? The first thing is we can love each other with a personalized love. Slow down, listen to them, and love them based upon what would actually be good for them. The second thing is we can love them with a patient love. One and done doesn't work. You have to keep doing it. You've got to be patient in the process. And the last thing you can do is love them with a pardoning love. Just forgive people. Forgive everybody. Forgive them. It doesn't matter. You don't need to hold on to stuff. I, for one, and probably many of you are in the same boat, I am so relieved that this election cycle is over. I'm tired of the signs in people's yards. I'm tired of the commercials between shows that I actually want to watch. I'm tired of people being angry with each other over stupid stuff. I'm glad it's done. I'm glad it's done, and I'm enjoying the peace and quiet. I'm sure many of you are in the same boat. You're just like, it's kind of nice. There's not this drama going on. But the problem is that the root problem between people is not gone. People still don't know how to love each other. It's quiet right now because President Trump got elected. It's quiet right now because there isn't any other drama on the scene. The news cycle isn't running through these things right now. It's quiet right now. But don't mistake the quiet that everything's fixed. It's not. People are still super anxious to jump into conflict. And they will when the next thing happens, whatever it is. We have a unique opportunity right now to step out and say, there's a better way to do this. There's a better way to treat each other. And I know how to do that now because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says that we should love each other with a personalized love, we should love each other with a patient love, and we should love each other with a pardoning love. But now we have an opportunity to do that. And that's my challenge for you is to do that this week. Love the people around you in the way that God is calling us to love them. And it will be a huge difference to the way that people in our culture treat us, treat each other. They're going to be like, this is weird. It's odd. It will stick out, and it will. But it will have a huge impact on who they are and what they think about us and about our Lord. This point in the service, we want to take some time and celebrate the Lord's Supper. If you didn't receive one of these disposable communion cups on your way in, just to go ahead and raise your hand. We have some people in the back that will get those for you. And this is an opportunity for those people who have an intimate relationship with God because of what Christ did for them on the cross. This is an opportunity for those people to celebrate, to remember what Jesus did on the cross for them so they could have that relationship with God. That relationship with God was put into place. That relationship with God was given to those people who call themselves believers, not because of anything that they did. They weren't good for like 6 days in a row and all of a sudden they got it. There's nothing that they could do. They've understood that intimate relationship with God is only because of what Jesus did for them. And so this, the Lord's Supper, is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ was willing to do in order that we could have that relationship. So if you were here this morning and you have an intimate relationship with the Lord through Christ, you're welcome to be a part of this. If you don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you're not sure what that is, it's probably better just to let this time pass and just watch what's going on. The second thing I want to challenge you with, and I challenged you with it last week, and it's something that I want to carry over with you this week, is this, is if you have issue, if you have an unforgiveness towards somebody else, I just want to challenge you to forgive them. If you can't bring yourself to forgive them, then don't take communion. There's some pretty steep warnings in the Bible about that when we do that, so don't. Just let it pass. But if you are, as best as you can tell, in a right relationship with the rest of people on the world, as far as you know at least, if you have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you are invited to remember what Christ did on the cross for us. So if you take off the first piece, that top plastic piece, I'm loosely paraphrasing from the book of 1 Corinthians, it said, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Jesus." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and when he had broken it, or when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." If you peel back the foil side now, and then we read, the Lord Jesus, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Well, church, as we conclude our service, we just have a few short announcements. Please be sure, if you don't already have a bulletin, please pick one up. A little bit more information, a little bit more detailed, so you can look at that yourself after the service. November 18th to 25th, so not this week, but the week to follow, will be the Operation Christmas Child drop-off. If you have a little time to spare to help serve, please see the sign-up. If you have any questions, also, please see Gail. Again, not this week, but the week to follow. Sorry, it is actually this week. Bright Lights Theater is going to be having a production of The Wizard of Oz. There's a few different dates, a few different times. For more information, again, please see your bulletin. As well as there will be poinsettias. available for order for Christmas season, a few different dates, and more information there on the bulletin. As well as in 2 weeks, we'll be having a Baptism Sunday. It'll be Andrea and Melody. A very exciting time. Please be sure to be there. It'll be a great time of worshiping our Lord for the work he has done in their lives. Also on the back of your bulletin, you can see a few different ways to give, whether in person or online. We encourage you to give generously, to give faithfully in obedience to Christ. And if you remember back to before the sermon, we had that short video, and it had the song playing, some people who were Christians engaging with each other, loving each other. There's a verse at the end of that video that I just want to read through real quick, and we'll conclude our service with prayer. It's John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace in bringing us all here together. And in studying your word, Lord, just learning more specific ways that we can love each other, Lord. And we just pray for your strength, for your wisdom, for your power as we seek to do that. That we wouldn't seek first to be known for anything but our love for you and our love for each other. And that we would strive to do that day to day with personal attention to each other's needs, with patience. And most of all, that we would just glorify you in everything that we do in our interactions with one another. Lord, we just thank you and we pray this all in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. Have a good week.